From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey, and this is U.S. Attorney John Lausch.
Today, a federal grand jury returned a 22-count indictment charging former Illinois House Speaker Michael Madigan and his close friend Michael McLean with racketeering conspiracy, bribery, wire fraud, and extortion offenses. The indictment accuses Madigan of leading, for nearly a decade, a criminal enterprise whose purpose was to enhance Madigan's political power and financial well-being while also generating income for his political allies and associates.
This is one of those conversations that doesn't need a lot of windup. As you know, Madigan was elected Speaker of the Illinois House in 1983, held onto that role for all but 2 years until January 2021. He was also chairman of the Democratic Party of Illinois for much of that time and was often considered the most powerful politician in the state. Joining me to talk about the indictment are two veteran State House reporters. Rick Pearson covers politics for the Chicago Tribune. Amanda Vinicky is a correspondent for Chicago Tonight on PBS station WTTW. Rick, Amanda, thanks for being here today.
Thank you, Brian.
Let's just begin with a top-line summary. Amanda, what is Madigan being accused of? Amanda, you may be muted if you're with us on the Zoom there.
I certainly am. Sorry. You'd think we'd all have the hang of Zoom by now, right? Madigan is accused of racketeering, conspiracy, wire fraud, bribery, extortion, 22 counts in a 106-page indictment. So it spans a decade of wrongdoing, and that is related to, allegedly, of course, related in part to something that we've been covering since summer of 2020, and that is the ComEd scandal, in which the utility giant had people on its payroll that were, in some cases, not doing any work, that were allies or favors to Madigan. And this was at a time where the legislature was passing a controversial law that has really everybody in the state paying additional charges on their electric bills to the benefit of ComEd and its parent company, Exelon, but also some new revelations, including that Madigan, who at the same time, I am always stunned by just number, sheer number of hours in the day, how somebody's able to get this all done, because House Speaker, Chairman of the Democratic Party, and then also he had a property tax law firm and used his public positions to steer business toward his law firm's way. And that is something that, according to this indictment, led to some $2.8 million for Madigan in, quote, ill-gotten gains.
Rick, what jumped out at you from this indictment? I mean, you've been covering Madigan a long time.
I think purely it was the scope of this. And while, yes, the basis of it started with the ComEd scandal that we knew about, it was kind of the second half of the indictment that detailed these various schemes involving land conveyances, involving former Alderman Danny Solis, who turned government informant, and how he had conspired allegedly to work with Madigan to steer business to his law firm, even to the point where he was seeking a lucrative state board appointment. I mean, just in its totality, I think this is even more of a damaging indictment of Illinois and Illinois corruption than the Rod Blagojevich arrest and indictment was, just because of its total scope over the fact that we're talking about a 10-year period, and that's just the period that the feds were able to focus on, and we're talking about somebody who was an essential part of state government for nearly half a century.
Yeah. All right. Let me just say, I should at this point say that Madigan denies the charges. He had a statement yesterday, said that is not illegal. These and other charges are equally unfounded. He said, throughout my 50 years as a public servant, I worked to address the needs of my constituents, always keeping in mind the high standards required and the trust the public placed in me. I adamantly deny these accusations and look back proudly on my time as an elected official serving the people of Illinois. Amanda, I was struck on page 82 of the indictment. Danny Solis apparently said to Madigan, you know, about one of these land deals, you know, I think they understand how this works. You know, the quid pro quo, the quid pro quo. He said that twice. And Madigan, according to the indictment, replied, okay, dot, 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 very good. Amanda, I think a lot of us came up, you know, taught that Madigan was smart enough to know where the law was, where the line on the law was, right? He probably wrote the law and put the line in there himself. What do you make of that?
Yeah, you know, so Solis, gosh, the hours of wiretapped conversations that Solis was a part of here, it is shocking because those are words that Madigan, who always had this level of being careful about him, one might even say, you know, paranoid, knowing that there were so many people out to get him at all points in time, that he would immediately say, that's not what this is, as a pushback. We haven't heard the conversation. I don't know if it was Madigan did, truth be told, have some time. He can be kind of a joker every once in a while, a little bit of sarcasm, some dry humor there. If it was, okay, move on.
No, that's a great, that's actually an interesting point, because I've heard people who've talked to him that basically anyone who goes to him with a request, he never says yes, he never says no. He says, very good. Like in the sort of Navy, very well, very well.
Yeah. Yes, and it may well be that. That said, it certainly looks damning when you see it on the printed page, as if Solis was saying, that's what this is, and Madigan not taking the opportunity to deny it, when this is a lucrative deal that would have given money to his law firm dealing with, in cases we're talking about, a state-owned parcel of land. And one has to question, why was Madigan involved with that in the first place, given his positions in state government? This gets to the notion of, even if it isn't illegal, which of course the feds are saying it certainly was, is it appropriate? Is this the sort of behavior that somebody who is the Speaker of the Illinois House should be engaged in?
Well, that's the thing. It's the Kinsley rule, right? Michael Kinsley, famously political commentator, said the scandal is not what's illegal. The scandal is what's legal. And
right.
I guess what Madigan says here is they're taking something that has been legal, maybe scandalous, but legal, and the U.S. attorney is trying to say it's illegal. Rick, I wonder about that point. People have often noted that the first Mayor Daley, Richard Jay, who was a mentor to Madigan, that he lived in a modest bungalow, right? He was in it for the power, not personal enrichment. Does it matter that Madigan is a millionaire, as by his own telling, who made his money, you know, helping wealthy companies lower their property tax bills?
Well, I think it's drawing that nexus between using your public office to allegedly get and have business steered to so that you can personally profit from it. And that was always the nexus question, is I think the one that everybody always had was, you know, sure, he was Speaker of the House, and on his own, you would think that businesses would like to curry favor with the most powerful politician in the state of Illinois. So yes, I would use his property tax appeals law firm. But the fact that there was always this constant churning for business, as revealed in the indictment, I think it underscores what Amanda was saying about, you know, this guy, part of his long lasting ability in Springfield was the belief that he was smart enough to go up against the line, not necessarily go over it, but he knew where the lines were drawn. And the indictment alleges something vastly different.
And I don't know if, you know, I've talked to some folks, if it was a matter of getting more power hungry, getting more reckless. Madigan had lasted so long in politics because of this prestige that he was able to navigate, that he knew, and you didn't want to cross him because he knew where the bodies were buried. He has all of these connections and didn't necessarily need to twist arms or use threatening language in any way, because everybody knew the score. You knew his title. You knew what he did, where he was. So that's, I think, what makes this indictment all the more shocking. I want to add that, of course, it's not just Madigan. It's also Mike McLean, who was again charged. These are sort of repurposed in a sense, because he's already pleaded not guilty in relation to the ComEd scam. And McLean is somebody who served in the Illinois House with Madigan way back when. They've stayed confidants. McLean was sort of became known as the consigliere, the guy who was the go-between for many, his own clients, as well as others, between, as a lobbyist, between them and between Madigan. And McLean, again, as I noted, is so far saying that he is innocent and doubling down on that, saying that these are repurposed charges and that it is wrong for the government and that he is never, ever going to roll on Madigan.
Rick, we heard from the governor's office yesterday that Governor J.B. Pritzker was interviewed or spoke with investigators about Madigan, his office says, as a witness. What else do we know about that?
Well, what we do know is that the U.S. Attorney John Lausch did say during his press conference yesterday that there's no allegations against the governor or any members of his staff that are contained in the indictment. But the revelation of Pritzker's name, number one, or actually it wasn't his by name, but it was as governor-elect in the indictment over the Madigan's purported effort to try to get Danny Solis a state board job. None of that came to fruition. Even Lausch acknowledges that that state position didn't come to fruition at all.
And but he didn't even remember Madigan asking for that sort of appointment, right?
Yeah. And so, nevertheless, here we are in an election year, in a re-election year, and you never want to even be tangentially associated with a federal investigation.
Yeah, and I mean, it seems that, I mean, Madigan held on to power for so long through the Rauner years, and then he really did seem to become a liability to Democrats enough that enough of them stood up to say, no, they weren't going to, you know, they didn't want him to be speaker anymore. Amanda, what are the consequences potentially for Speaker Madigan? He's what, 79 years old, I think now?
Yeah, I think he turns 80 next month, coming up soon. And, you know, we asked the U.S. Attorney for the Northern District of Illinois, John Lausch, what exactly Madigan might be looking at here. And he frankly didn't have an exact answer, but something like for certain charges, you could be facing 20 years in prison. Now, of course, some of this can be really, it take a long time to wind its way through the court system. And Madigan has a great team of attorneys. By the way, he is able to use the campaign funds that he built up over those four decades of power to pay some of those legal bills. And so we're looking at, it could be years before this Madigan is actually on trial, before we really have him taking the stand or anything to that effect. So, but certainly this is a very weighty consequence for him, as he has. Also, by the way, I don't know. I have not spoken with him. Have, you know, put in that request, of course, but he is somebody who devoted his life to the Illinois General Assembly, to amassing power, to getting Democrats elected. And I think that's part of the legacy as well. He has lost all of that. Another part of the legacy is going to be just the taint, this whiff of corruption over the Capitol, what it might mean for Democrats in this next election, as they're already wary given just national tides, and increased calls for ethics reform. This is an area where the General Assembly, in light of the ComEd scandal, did take some action, but many of the good government advocates say in no way has Illinois gone far enough. And so this does put increased pressure on legislators to do more.
That's a great point, Amanda. I mean, say what you will about Illinois Democrats. They amassed power and used it under Madigan, be it abolishing the death penalty or being the first state legislature to legalize same-sex marriage or legalizing marijuana. Well, this is an issue I'm sure we will continue talking about in the months and potentially years ahead, if we, as we've just said, waiting for this to go to trial. Rick Pearson is political reporter with the Chicago Tribune. Amanda Vinicky is a correspondent for WTTW's program Chicago Tonight. Rick, Amanda, no two people I'd rather have talked about this with. So thank you both so much for coming on the 21st show today.
Thank you, as always, Brian.
Coming up after a break, we're going to be talking with Emily Van Doon. She's been researching how and why many people keep their politics a secret. Her new book is called Democracy Lives in Darkness. That's coming up after a short break. You're listening to The 21st. Stay with us.
The 21st is made possible in part by Busey. Whether you're just starting out or upgrading to your dream home, Busey can guide you every step of the way, because they know there's no place like home. Busey, fulfilling dreams since 1868.